Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
We started off here in verse 22, now it came to pass. And we spent just a few moments preaching on, I don't know what your it is, but it did come to pass. It did not come to stay. Before we even started church today, one of our great families shared a testimony, and the testimony was for a private request they had brought to our leadership team and family. And for those of you who know the Mendoza family sitting right here on the front row, one of our heroes these last few years is Brian, because at a young age he was diagnosed with cancer, but he sits here today as a young teenage man, cancer-free, praise God. And we praise God for that. But how many of you know the devil loves to keep trying and keep picking and keep doing his best to distract and dissuade? And so he has to go in for scans every now and then because of what he has been through. And this time they didn't find cancer, but they found something in his heart. And there was some unusual activity and some things that they were concerned with, and they had started talking about procedures and all of that. His family messaged us and talked to us, said, hey, let's pray for this. And they didn't share it with the church, but we began to pray. And this past week, he went to those same doctors, and those doctors gave him a clean bill of health. Strong heart, nothing wrong. To God be the glory. And it came to pass. Pastor, you think the doctors made a mistake? No, they did not make a mistake. They saw something, but the prayers of righteous men and women, the prayers of a righteous mom and dad accomplished much. So I say that in the middle of this message to remind you, whatever it is, it has come to pass, not to stay. If it is not going to stay, don't camp in the middle of your storm. Keep it moving in Jesus' name. The Bible says it came to pass, and on that day they went into a ship with his disciples. It's important that we remember that Jesus was with them in the ship. I don't know what direction you're headed. I just know that Jesus better be in your ship, and he better be the captain of your ship. And we left off last session talking Jesus, when he joined them on the ship, said, let us go into the other side of the lake. And we have gotten so pronoun conscious in 2023, but there is a power in a pronoun not as you identify or not as our culture likes to identify, but listen to what Jesus said. He didn't say, let me make it or I will make it. He said, everybody in this boat, let us pass to the other side. Now, when he said that, the sun was shining, the seagulls were making the noise they do, everything was fine. Jesus knew that all hell was going to break loose and that a storm was going to show up. But Jesus also knew that I am the Prince of Peace, and it doesn't matter what happens on the water. When I say we're going to make it, we are going to make it. I don't know what your storm looks like today. Maybe it's a storm called divorce. Maybe it's a storm called bankruptcy. Maybe it's a storm called depression. I just need you to get Jesus to where you are. And when Jesus gets in the middle of your life, of your boat, you will make it to the other side. And they launched, and this is where we start new. And they launched forth. And they launched forward. The only direction for believers is forward. Moving forward, no matter what. Sometimes it's an inch, sometimes it's a mile. But with the Holy Spirit in me, and God's word is my foundation under me, and faith as the wind in my sails, it doesn't matter what happens in August, I'm moving forward in Jesus' name. Doesn't matter who jumps out the ship, I'm moving forward in Jesus' name. Doesn't matter the storms of life, I'm moving forward. I'm not backing up. I'm not wavering side to side. I'm not staying here. I'm moving forward. Somebody say, I'm moving forward. God's responsibility. And I wrestled with these next few statements to make sure that this was God and not me. And anytime that I preach, I make sure that I have scriptural context and examples to back up whatever I'm going to say. And this would be a good place for me to stop and say something that I try to say every couple months. Everything that is preached, whether it's from me or your favorite preacher on a podcast, you should be comparing it to the Word of God. And every word that comes across a pulpit or comes across the airwaves, you need to measure it and compare it with the Word of God. Because sometimes men and women are going to miss it, but God's Word never fails. But God's responsibility, listen to this, church, God's responsibility to the believer is only in forward movement and forward motion. Listen to this. Any other direction but forward, you are left to the consequences of your decisions. God's grace is still available. God's mercy is still available. But you are on your own. You say, does that mean God leaves me? He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. But you remember when you were teaching your kids how to do something and they would try to do it on their own? You would stand there waiting on them to ask you for help. And you were available to swoop in and help them when they called out to you. But there's some of us that we have kicked Jesus out of the boat. And we have chosen to lean on our own understanding. We have put our faith in our rowing and in our might and in our strength and in our intellect. But I want to tell you, I want to go forward in Jesus' name. I want to go the direction God has me going. Because if I turn around and go opposite of where God has called me to go, I am left to my own devices. God will save. God's grace and mercy are available. But there are consequences to every decision. Remember, there's consequences to every decision. Jesus said, follow me. Meaning, if you follow me, I'll take you to the right place. I'll take you through the difficult times, but we will be together. Some of us, Jesus says, follow me, and we go the other way. And I'm not even talking about salvation here. I'm talking about lordship. We trust him with our forever, but we don't trust him for the next 15 minutes. Jesus said, hey, August is going to have some storms, but we're going to go through those storms. We're going to make it to the other side. Follow me through the storms and you're going to make it. Again, I say, church, I'd rather be in the storm with Jesus than in sunshine without Jesus. I'd rather be in the middle of the will of God, fighting every enemy that is put in front of me than rainbows and butterflies without Jesus. He said, follow me, but much like the prodigal son, we choose to go our own direction. And I'm always reminded of this in the prodigal son story. When the prodigal son leaves the father's house, the father does not chase him. The father keeps building the house because he knows eventually the son is going to come home. Can I encourage somebody that's been rowing against the will of God? Can I encourage somebody that's been doing it all on your own? Jesus is available. Jesus is waiting. Jesus wants to be invited into your life. Jesus wants to be the answer to every question and every need. But just like the prodigal son, we must come to ourselves and remember the first thing he thought about when he came to himself was the Father's house. Anytime you start rowing in a direction away from Jesus, remember you're one decision away from being right smack dab in the middle of the will of God. Praise God. Verse 23, but as they sailed, Jesus fell asleep. Some of us would look at that as a problem. Verse 23 says Jesus fell asleep. This is a moment where you see Jesus is all God, but he's all man. The Bible says that God doesn't sleep nor slumber. The man, the flesh part of Jesus, was sleeping in the back of the boat. But here is the takeaway, church, and I believe this is going to bless somebody. If Jesus is resting, then so can you. If the storm of life is raging, if Jesus is resting, then so am I. If all of the chaos of this world is swirling around and Jesus saying, oh, I'm going to rest in this moment. If Jesus is resting, I'm going to rest. Because if Jesus isn't worried about it, I'm not going to be worried about it. If Jesus isn't pacing the bow of the boat, then I'm not going to pace. Some of us need to learn how to rest in Jesus. How many moms we have in the house today? You learn very quickly, when the baby sleeps, it don't matter if it's 2:45 in the afternoon. When the baby sleeps, you sleep. Can I encourage somebody in the room today? It's okay to rest. It's okay to stop for a moment, exhale, lean into Jesus, and say, that's some heavy wind. Those are some big waves. But Jesus, I see you peacefully sleeping, and so I'm going to go get my pillow. I'm going to lay down, and I'm going to... How many of you like, I talked to my friend yesterday, and I have to have white noise all the time. And so when I was in El Paso, I have a fan app, and that fan app just literally makes a bunch of noise for me to go to sleep to. And he says, yeah, I don't do that. He goes, I use thunderstorms. Isn't it amazing that storms in some places will scare you, but in sometimes you can listen to those same storms and it lulls you to sleep? Can I encourage you? Learn to sleep in the storms of life. And remember this, resting does not mean you're not doing anything. Resting sometimes is the biggest sign of faith. God, you've got this. Remember when Elijah was suicidal? God said, Elijah, just take a nap, have a snack, and when you wake up, everything's going to be okay. Can I encourage somebody? Rest today. Let God take care of it. You've done what you can do. Now stand or sleep in faith and say, God, you've got it. Let me tell you, there's no more long nights of you waking up or staying up till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning trying to figure it out. Pray for it, do the possible, and then rest in the fact that God, when the impossible shows up, you're going to do it. Praise God. Give God praise. The storm showed up. I think it's safe to say, and I've lived long enough to know this is true, if your life is void of storms, you're going the wrong direction. You say, well, Pastor, I never go through anything. Don't say that. Don't say that. I'm not saying you got to pray for storms, but they're going to happen. If you are doing something for God, if you are called, anointed, and appointed, the storms are going to come. And some of them are not just going to be a little breeze and a shower. They're going to be hurricanes. They're going to be out to not only mess up your direction, but take you out. I want to encourage you, sometimes the storm is the sign that I'm going the right direction, because evidently the devil doesn't want me to get there. And so he's putting something in between my here and there. And so I'm kind of excited. The lightning's flashing, the thunder's rolling. That just announces to me you're almost to where God has called you to be. The storms of life are not meant to sink you, to misdirect you. I'm sorry, the storms of life are meant to sink you, to misdirect you, to frustrate you, to turn you around. The Bible says when the storm came, they were filled with water. The boat was filled with water. You never need to worry about sinking until what is on the outside fills up what is on the inside. Drowning is when your lungs, instead of being filled with air, are now filled with water. Isn't it amazing that in another account, a storm just like this shows up, and not only are they making it through the storm, but the Bible says Peter walked on water. Can I encourage you? You weren't called to doggy paddle. You weren't called to backstroke. You weren't called to swim. You were called to walk on the water. What has taken everybody else out, what everybody else is sinking into, God said, no, you can walk on that thing. Don't let what's on the outside get on the inside. Don't let all of the news affect what's on the, don't let other people's fear paralyze you. Don't let other people's prejudice mess you up. I am good as long as what is on the outside doesn't get on the inside. That is why Matthew 7, when it says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. I've got something. You've got something so strong coming out of you that nothing on the outside can get on the inside. I love this. Jesus, I'm bouncing everywhere as God gives it. Jesus touched lepers. No one else would touch him. Jesus touched lepers. Extremely contagious. Jesus touched lepers. I'm sure the disciples were like, don't touch them, don't touch them. They're unclean. We shouldn't even be near them. Jesus touched them. You know why Jesus touched them? Because Jesus knew, I've got more coming out of me than they have coming out of them. And so what's in them can't get in me, but I believe what's in me can get in them. Let's go to the woman with the issue of blood. She reached out and touched Jesus, and what happened? All the virtue from Jesus flowed into her body. I'm here to tell you, don't let the world get on the inside. Let the Spirit of God, the Word of God, let Christ be formed in you. Turn to your neighbor and ask him, what's on the inside? The boat, they filled up with water, and they were now in jeopardy. And they came to Jesus, and they woke him up. Oh, my goodness. I don't like to be awoken up, whatever the word is, waked up. I don't like it. I don't like it at 7 o'clock, 6:30, 6 a.m. when my alarm goes up, but I sure don't like being woken up from a nap. Because I sleep at the end of the day because my body's so fatigued, I need it. But naps are a choice, y'all. And when I lay down, it's a choice for the next 4.5 hours. No, just kidding. I am resting. And here's what I think. When I'm resting, Mandy, you should rest. Jaden, you should rest. Let's just get the house nice and cool and quiet, and let's all just rest. But here's the thing. Most of us are not in the same seasons of storms as our peers. And so because they don't rest, we don't rest. Remember from the first lesson in this series, don't bring your storm onto my boat. Don't bring your drama into my peace. Don't bring your sickness into my health. Don't bring your poverty spirit into my prosperity. I'm doing my best to keep my head above water and to have faith. And so they woke Jesus up. Jesus wasn't planning on getting up until that boat hit the other shore. But in the middle of the storm, they woke him up. And I want you to circle this in your Bible or make a note. They woke him up saying, Master, Master, we perish. One translation is, Master, Master, do you not care that we perish? Remember, church, that a few verses preceding, Jesus has already said, let us go to the other side. He has already promised them that you will outlive the storm. He has already promised them, you are unsinkable. Doesn't matter. You will float to the next, to the other side. You will swim to the other side. However you have to get there, it doesn't matter. You will outlive what you're facing. But here they are in a moment of panic. Master, Master, do you not care that we perish? They woke Jesus up, called him Master, and then questioned his compassion. Church, hear me loud and clear. The woke Christians have a different version of Jesus than is in our Bible. Progressive, that was a good place to say amen. The progressive Christians have a different version of Jesus than is in your Bible. Let me tell you, Jesus is a compassion-filled Jesus. Never question his compassion. Never question the compassion of Jesus. He loved you enough to die on a cross for you. He loved you enough to come to this earth without sin. A man and God that knew no sin yet went to the cross and bled out. His own city would not receive him. His family lost faith in him. And for the joy that was set before him, and that joy is named Brandon, and that joy is named Lauren, and that joy is named Angie, I want to encourage you. God loves you so much. Don't ever question the compassion and love, because while we were yet sinners, Christ loved us and died for us. He didn't save you to have you drown in a storm of debt. He didn't save you so that you could die a miserable death of cancer. He did not save you so you have a depression and a suicidal spirit that would put a gun to your head. The storm is about to run out of water. Don't wake him up. Rest in the fact that if he said it, He will do it. Many times, church, we make the mistake of judging Jesus unfairly when we compare him to others that have let us down, to others that have ghosted us. Here's the issue, church. How many of you know that God loves you? Raise your hand. How many of you have felt, you have heard God literally in prayer times, you have heard him say, I love you, my son. I love you, my daughter. How many of you have ever had someone else tell you they love you? You were 12 years old in sixth grade throwing that word around. I love you forever. Who knew forever was 3.5 weeks? But it was. But we hear the phrase so much by others. We hear things like, I'll always be there for you. Who knew always was 2.5 months? So we hear all of these phrases. Even, listen, we hear it from family members that no doubt do love us, but they do not love us unconditionally. He loves us. He loves you with no strings attached. When you and I were at our worst, he loved us. When we are at our best, he loves us. But here they are comparing Jesus to others who have let them down, who have slept through a phone call, who did not return a text or an email. Jesus is not your homeboy. Jesus is not your BFF. Jesus is not your boyfriend. He is the Savior. He is the Lord of all. He is the creator of everything that is holy. When he says something, you don't take it to the bank. You can take it to heaven. When he says you will outlive the storm and are unsinkable, you are unsinkable. Do not ever question the compassion of Jesus. He loves us. He loves us. Deuteronomy 31 verse 6, and I'm out of time, says this: be strong and of good courage. Fear not, church, nor be afraid of them. I don't know who them is, but God does. For the Lord thy God, he is that doth goeth with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. You say that's Old Testament. It's all word. The New Testament says in verse 5 of Hebrews 13, for he had said, I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. I will remember, even when I make wrong choices, he's still available. When I'm living out the consequences of those bad decisions, I am one moment from just saying, Jesus, help me. And he's standing there saying, I thought you'd never ask. Help me. Verse 24. Then Jesus arose. Remember when your mom was sleeping, you used to wake her up and she got up huffing mad? You can go fix your own sandwich. You don't need me. He arose and he rebuked the wind and the raging of the water. Jesus rebuked everything that they saw that was creating fear. Listen, church, this blessed me so much. In this moment, Jesus brings peace to the atmosphere and an environment that surrounded the disciples. Isn't it amazing that fear is what woke Jesus up? But instead of dealing with them, he deals with the things that are causing them to fear. We perish, doesn't say a word to them. He speaks to the atmosphere. Check this out. Two verses before this, Jesus declares, and I've said this 10 times already, let us go to the other side. Check this out. That was when he spoke to the disciples. Now he's speaking to wind and the waves. When he spoke to this, God's word spoken to you brings inner peace. God's word spoken for you brings outer peace. In one moment, Sister Reba, he's talking to the disciples. The next moment, he's talking to everything around the disciples. You tracking that? Check this out. But maturity says, God, I don't need you to speak to the wind and waves because you've already spoken to me. This is what maturity does, church. I don't have to have a perfect environment to have faith and peace. Because you spoke to me, I have peace in here. I have peace in here. I don't care what's going on around me. I have peace here. But a child has to have mom and dad come and check under the bed, check in the closet, and let them know that the atmosphere is fine. Can we grow to a place, church, that when Jesus speaks to us in a time of prayer, when Jesus speaks to us in an altar, when we open the word in devotion and are having a Bible study at our breakfast table before we go to work, can we trust in the fact that the peace that God spoke to us privately, not to the wind, not to the waves, that to us privately, the peace that he's brought us, that when you step off the elevator into your job and it is the most chaotic place of your week, that you still have peace and you're saying, God, I don't need you to fix all of this. You don't have to speak to that because you've spoken to me. I'll take care of that. I love that. I'll take care of that. You just take care of me. Oh, I'll take care of that. You just take care of me. God, I wish you'd do something with my husband. No. Let him do something with you. Then you can do something with your husband. God, I wish you'd touch little Johnny and Samantha. If that's your kids' names, I'm sorry. Or maybe I'm not. Praise God. Maybe that's prophetic. God, I wish you'd do something with him. No, Mom. No, Dad. Let him do something to you. And then you can handle them. Remember, God wouldn't give you them if you couldn't handle them. And so the fact that you're not handling them means that you're not handling you. God, I need you to speak to me, not on Sunday. I need you to speak to me on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday. I'm all ears, God. Speak to me. You don't have to speak for me. Speak to me, and then I'll speak that word to my situation. Inner peace is what I want. You know why? Because President Trump couldn't do it. President Biden couldn't do it. The next one won't do it. There's always going to be hate in the streets. There's always going to be rioting. There's always going to be craziness. There's always going to be all these conspiracies and all of this, all of the calamities that happen in our life. I'm not fretting none of it because I've got Jesus in my life. I've got peace in my heart. I've got peace in my spirit. And the mature Christian says, you don't have to do it for me, just do it to me, and I'll take care of the rest. That is why an unsinkable believer can be in the middle of the most chaotic moments and not be affected. Because they have a promise from God that has produced peace, listen to this, that cannot be shaken and cannot be taken. My mom used to sing a song. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it, and so the world cannot take it away. This peace that we have, the world didn't give it, and so the world can't take it away. And isn't it amazing how the world calls it meditation? Meditation is just prayer to the wrong God. I'm not meditating like the world. I'm not Buddha searching for peace. I know the Prince of Peace. His name is Jesus. If you look over my shoulder, he's asleep in the boat. That's why I'm not fretting. That's why I'm not doubting. That's why I'm not worrying, or anxiety has not filled my life, because I have a peace that cannot be shaken and cannot be taken. We're going to finish it here. Verse 24. And they ceased. The wind and waves ceased. And there was a calm. I love when God just shows me just little simple things in the word of God. But imagine this. Jesus wakes up, steps to the edge of the boat. John 1:1 says that Jesus is the word. In this moment, the word speaks the word. Think about that. The word declares the word. Inanimate objects listen when the word declares the word. Water literally lays down. Wind stops when the word declares the word. You say that's Jesus, but Jesus told us we can move mountains with faith and the word. We can move trees with faith and the word. During the conference, it was a young adults conference. You say, well, what are you doing there? I don't know why I was there either, but it was great. The conference I've been at the last 3 days, sat there on the front row, 1,000 young people who paid to be there on a Friday night. El Paso is a party town because of UTEP. 1,000 young people on Thursday and Friday night chose to come to church instead of a party, instead of the club scene. 1,000 of them in that room. The morning sessions, early morning, they had 500 and 600 young people showing up for teaching and classes and sessions on doctrine and all of these special things. And what I love about their lead pastor, Cruz's senior pastor, his name is Charles Neiman. I'd love for him to come here one day, and I'm going to do my best to get him here. He's 10 days younger than Bishop. He's 73 years old, and if our bishop is John Wayne, then Bishop or Pastor Neiman is Clint Eastwood. They're cut from the same cloth. There's no fluff. And so he did one session. You got a 73-year-old on the platform, and you've got nothing but 18 to 25-year-olds, 1,000 of them. And you always can tell when you get young people, there's a lot of people on their phone. There's a lot of people talking. There's a lot of things going on. But when Pastor Neiman began to go through, they were talking about his daily process and how he starts with prayer and starts declaring the word of God. That's where I'm going. He was declaring the word of God. He said, I got this book that I've made, and I asked him for a copy, and he's going to have one made and send it to me. And it's just scripture after scripture that he's declaring that keep him free from depression, that keep him free from sickness, that keep him free. And let me tell you something. When he began to declare the word of God and just quote scripture, I'm not telling you he wasn't teaching. He just quoted scripture for about 10 minutes. Within 30 seconds of him declaring the word of God, there was not one young person moving in that building. There wasn't anybody shifting and going to the bathroom. People put down their phones. Why? Because something happens when the word of God is declared. Something happens in the atmosphere when the word of God begins to be unleashed. Can I encourage you? I know you have Jesus, but Jesus has spoken a word to you so that you can stand up on the bow of your life and your boat and speak the word.